It's still Christmas. And
one week closer.
A week closer. Hopefully you are at least making some progress during your Christmas shopping and seeing family and friends and all your schedule. This episode is about coping with change during Christmas.
I don't like change.
I fear change. This is part of our Christmas Unwrapped series that we're doing. It's a four-part episode. We also have a devotion that is on YouVersion as well. So this is about all kinds of change that happens from the previous year of Christmas. And that could be loved ones pass away. Someone in the family gets married, and now you have to share a holiday. Well, now we're stepping on toes. Now you're like, oh my goodness, let's dive into this. So,
or having a child.
Having a child. Oh my goodness. It's getting deep already. So a significant number of people feel the impact of loss more acutely during the holiday season. And so that's kind of the jumping off point here. We have someone in our family that, you know, they've lost their husband a couple years ago, but they just recently moved up here, in Charlotte, North Carolina. And, you know, we get to see that a little bit more of the day-to-day leading up to the holidays. But that got us thinking about all the kind of change that happens during the holidays. And so let's touch on a little bit of that loss or maybe distance during the holidays. You may have had a loved one, a parent or a spouse, or hopefully not a child, pass in the last 12 months that was there last year, and now you're dealing with the loss of that during this holiday season when everybody else is getting together with family. You cannot, at least cannot in the same way. And that's got to be stressful.
I mean, that's got to be so difficult. I know a lot of times during this time frame, there's a group of people at churches that will like go out into the community and try to be with those people, because for some of those people, that may have been, you know, especially in spouse situations, especially older generations,
sure,
that could have been like, you know, well, I don't live near my kids, or that was my last, you know, closely family member kind of thing. So, yeah, it's not something I would wish on anyone, but, you know, it's real nonetheless.
Sure.
And so it makes me thankful for the people that are around me, but, you know, it makes me want to reach out to those people that maybe need that family member-esque portion of their life. Because I know a lot of people talk about like the silence is usually the biggest problem.
Sure.
It's the silence of no one's there. They're walking around their home. They don't have anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it's, you know, been filled with other things, been, you know, sound wise.
Sure.
And this can, you know, apply to, you know, losing loved ones, you know, moving to, you know, cross country, not having family or friends.
Sure.
And so, you know, if you're close to someone or know someone at your church or at your work or whatever, I would definitely recommend reaching out to that person and offering, you know, some kind of gathering or, you know, dinner or something to that capacity to be there for them, because this is a very trying time for a lot of those people.
We went through Hurricane Katrina, and so we moved from New Orleans to Arizona, where I was promised there is no water.
Mm.
And they were correct. There's no water. Just 1,000 degrees of heat. But by doing so, there was no one in our family lived over there. So we had to, friends were our family at those holidays. And we were very, very thankful for that, because people took us into their homes and we took them in our homes and we did life together. And so if you've lost a loved one, there are probably a bunch of people at your church going through the exact same thing and be more than happy to get together and maybe start doing life together. You might find you have more in common than you ever thought you did.
Yeah.
The second one is changing traditions.
Yeah.
Ooh, I could feel Mom sensing from a distance the word change has been uttered.
Yeah, she's not a fan of that one.
No, she is not. So if she could have had you and Noah never get married, she, and to just live with us forever, that'd have been perfect. No, she wanted you guys to find someone, obviously. But, you know, everybody who had children that got married, they probably ran headlong into, well, what do you mean you're going to go somewhere else for Christmas? Well, you're not going to spend the night here in your PJs and wake up and do Christmas like we always do?
Yeah.
So, parents, I'm talking right to you. Get over yourselves when it comes to everything must stay the same forever. Maturity, flexibility is a sign of maturity. Mm-hmm. So things are going to change. Traditions change. So you might as well get used to it before you start to burn bridges or cause issues at family gatherings that we just did in the last episode.
Yeah.
if you make it pleasing and you're flexible, the best case scenario will be your children will want to rotate through their in-laws and you. And here's a kicker. They may actually want to have Christmas at home one day. That day may be today, right?
Yeah.
And so be okay with them coming over maybe not on Christmas Day or later in the day on Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. And so I know, so obviously you are married. Mm-hmm. Noah's married with kids. I mean, talk about how that has been from that side.
Yeah.
Seeing parents.
Yeah, I know, you know from your perspective about being flexible. I know from my perspective, and this will probably ring true for a lot of newly married guys. This is the advice I always tell every new couple that joins our Bible study of put the boundaries up faster than you think you need to.
Sure, day one.
Because you can't let them assume, because when you let them assume, they're going to assume that you want to spend time with them every Christmas, every year, all the time.
Right.
And I've found that a lot of people's response to that is like, well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. I don't want them to feel like I don't want to see them.
Sure.
But I found that if I don't set up some kind of system, like what we do every year, one in-laws get Thanksgiving, one gets Christmas, and the next year we flip-flop. It usually just means we just see the other in-laws maybe the day after or the week after or whatever.
Sure.
It makes it less stressful for us. And to your point of, damn it, I want Christmas with my wife.
Right. I mean, it's nothing to, that's not... Nothing wrong with that statement whatsoever.
Yeah.
You may find that one year you're like, you know what? I just want to do Christmas here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll see you Christmas Eve or day yeah. after Christmas or something like that. And you don't see either one of the parents.
Yeah.
Or they rotate to your house.
Right. Yeah. I think it's this weird level. I think it feels like my generation is a little bit this. I don't quite know about the younger generation too much. But I feel like my generation, it almost makes me, a lot of people that I've talked to are like, well, I feel like I'm being rude asking for the day to myself or the day to my spouse kind of thing. And it's like, you as, you know, a married couple need to spend time together.
Sure.
Creating your own traditions, your own time together. I mean, more than, you know, spending time with your family, in-laws, all that kind of stuff is great. Don't get me wrong. I always think spending time with your in-laws is a great way to just keep, you know, relationships in good places and, you know, we're called to love, you know, everyone. But taking time for yourself, I think, is just as important.
Sure.
And I see too much in, especially new marriages, this desire to like, well, I got to appease everybody. I got to see my family in the same day as your day, your in-laws on Christmas Day. And then somehow we'll squeak in our own little thing. And we did Christmas like that one year. Three Christmases in a day, and it was a nightmare. I spent more time on the road than at the parties. and there's grace in that, but there needs to be some firmness in setting the boundaries. And hopefully your in-laws and your parents will respect that. But I find that setting up some kind of system in place earlier on is the best way, because it's that the change of going from maybe dating are engaged to married,
sure.
or married to having a child. If you don't have anything in place for that kind of stuff, assuming, or they'll make assumptions about it.
Yeah.
And their feelings will get hurt.
Sure.
And then grievances will follow, and then you got to go back and listen to our other podcast last week about grievances. So I find that being very honest and clear and having grace in that conversation about these things are going to change doesn't mean I don't want to spend time with you. Doesn't mean I don't love you any less, but things will change the same way it changed for you. I mean, I find it interesting from the couples I've spoken to, their parents, someone seemed like they've forgotten that they also did the exact same thing when they got married.
Sure.
All those years ago. It's like, you're married, you had me, you had this experience, exact same experience. Did you forget?
Right.
But it's changed. No one ever likes change. But I think that, you know, being gracious about having that conversation about how things will change and the fact that, you know, you still want to spend time with them and see them. Just being flexible, I think, like you said, is sign of maturity in the best case scenario for these instances.
Yeah, and since the parents are older, I know this is an assumption, a crazy assumption, you would think that they would have a little more maturity because they've been through this and say, look, I totally get this. You know, we'll work out. Let us know what your schedule is. We'll work it out, and we'll see each other.
Yeah.
Flexibility is a sign of maturity. I can't say it enough. I mean, Mom and I adopted that pretty much the day Noah got married. In Sinbad, the comedian, he did a little thing, and it was kind of like the vows went, I do. Something's going to change around here. Right. Right after the I do's.
Yeah.
And so some of that comes across, because then you start factoring in like, you know, oh, so the other in-laws get more time than we get.
Yeah.
Feelings become hurt. There's jealousy. There's imaginary issues. So you can see as we unpack this, it gets more and more complicated every session we do this. And so our verse to help us set some perspective is Isaiah 43:19.
Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert.
That may seem kind of grim, but there, we needed some a reset on perspectives there. So join us in our next segment as we talk about new traditions. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Wilson Technology Group. At Wilson Technology Group, we're not just an IT vendor. We're your trusted business partner delivering exceptional support, innovative solutions, and peace of mind. One call, one team, all your tech issues resolved. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Viking Mergers. Sell your business? Viking Mergers and Acquisitions can help. With 25 plus years of experience and 800 successful sales, we're experts in securing maximum value. Get your free business valuation now at vikingmergers.com or call 866-592-9467. Okay, welcome back to our second segment. The first segment, we talked about that horrible topic of change. But the second segment, we're talking about starting new traditions in the wake of change. Maybe honoring a memory for those maybe no longer with us. Yeah. That can be a great thing too. So creating new traditions can be an effective way to heal and adapt to changes in our lives. Now, it's difficult when someone like maybe moves away. There's distance where you're like, we can't go. Because there was a time when Dana's brother lived here in Charlotte, and we lived in Arizona. So her parents had to make a decision. They couldn't go both. But sometimes that distance could only be an hour between. You know, like sometimes you're like, you know what? Let's just go to one today and we'll go to one tomorrow or whatever. So, but developing new traditions might be a great way to bring people together.
Yeah.
Say, look, I understand. Let's use something a little bit easier, more palatable. Birthdays. There are people in our family, I won't mention names, because I'll get beaten up. But people in our family who, well, you have to get together on the day of your birthday. Mm. I don't care if it's a school day or a work day. You got to get together. That's the rule. That's the birthday cake rules. So getting, we handle it. We do it either on family night or maybe a weekend, either before or after the event. Once in a while, it falls really close or on the day. Yay, whatever. But finding a tradition or starting one can really be beneficial. Let me just throw this one out there to you. Dana and I started doing what we call our Christmas light tour a couple of years ago. And over the time, we've built this map that we go do for a couple of weeks before Christmas Day, that we bring hot chocolate, we bring desserts, and we just spend about 2 hours each night, a couple nights a week, going, driving through neighborhoods, listening to Christmas music, looking at lights. Sometimes it's been with, you know, like you and Heather, sometimes it's with, you know, like my in-law or whatever kind of thing. Finding something that works for your schedule would sometimes heal those times when you feel slighted.
Yeah, I think it's, this is, especially because like if you've just been married or this is your first Christmas together as a couple, I do find that creating traditions together is a really great way to come together as a couple. And that doesn't necessarily need to be a new tradition, like, you know, we like, well, my parents did this, I'm not doing that. Because one of the traditions we do is one that we used to do as a family. Whenever it comes time to decorate the Christmas tree, we crank up the Christmas music, and then we just kind of goof around and put the Christmas ornaments on the tree. Sure. We talk about, you know, oh, this is the one from this year. Oh, remember when we got this one? That kind of thing. So it doesn't have to be, you know, entirely new, but I think traditions do a great job of, you know, pulling us together in maybe ways that we're not used to. Sure. And, you know, and the structure too, you know, and during this time frame of being hectic, having some structure can be very, very helpful.
Yeah, I think in doing something that maybe you honor or remember someone who's passed away, like, you know what, this ornament is from my grandmother or my great-grandmother. She got this back in the 30s, or we made it when I was like four.
Yeah.
Mom has these ornaments that her and her grandmother and mom made. They took Mardi Gras beads, took a cookie sheet, put them in the shape of whatever monstrosity they were trying to make, start the oven, and they melt and they fuse together. And they spend the next 30 years trying to convince themselves, is this a stocking or a candy cane or a ball? What shape is this again? So you have things that you could do to help maybe develop new traditions while you adjust the existing ones.
Yeah.
And so another talking point is our support systems during the transition. So emphasize the role of the family and friends and faith communities during these changes. If you isolate yourself in life, anytime you go through anything, whether it be around the holidays or a bad Monday, tax season, which everybody hates, you are going to feel it more because you've isolated yourself. You have family. If you make the effort, you will have friends. And if you don't forsake the gathering of the saints and go to church, you will have friends and brothers and sisters in Christ there as well. So when we say we don't have anyone, I've given you three examples of areas that you could develop relationships that would help ease a transition in life.
Yeah. And you can be that for somebody else too. I mean,
exactly.
That might be a good way to create those relationships. I know our Bible study every year always has a Christmas party where everybody gets together. We do a little like white elephant party gift exchange. We're going to be hosting a gingerbread building contest this year for our group. Yeah. We're going to make gingerbread cookies to also eat while we build the houses.
That's just natural.
Yeah.
That's rules. Yeah. That's law.
I don't make the rules, so I just follow them. But I think those kind of situations that it can be easy to convince yourself that you're too busy to do these things and make the effort to, sure, you know, build these relationships and do things together. Like we're going to go see lights with a couple from our Bible study just to kind of spend some time together.
Yeah.
It's those things that doing life is just so important. And, you know, this time of year, it's easy to be like, oh, I'm just going to put that to the side and hang my hat over there for a little bit, and then I'll pick it back up when the new year starts. Mm-hmm. And for some people, this is a really important time for them because maybe they have moved across country, they don't have family, or, sure, you know, they just lost a loved one and they, you know, are really hurting and they're grieving.
Right.
Now, some people are okay with grieving alone, but I know many people who do not do well grieving alone.
Sure.
They want interactions and comfort from other people. So whether you need it or you can be that for somebody else in this time frame, I'd highly recommend looking into, you know, your Bible study, even if it's just a singular couple that you know, like, you know, hey, I'm gonna reach out to them and just try to schedule something.
Go have dinner. We have a couple that we met when we first moved here. And I will name names, Pat and Rob.
Mm.
Pat and Rob, we love them to death. We go to dinner every Christmas Eve.
Yep.
And we've done that tradition for probably 16 of our 17 years here.
Yep, go to Razoo's.
Go to Razoo's, eat seafood that they make believe is from New Orleans, but it's not. bless their heart, they're doing their best they can. But yeah, go find something with some friends from church and start a new tradition. That's our challenge. Start a Christmas tradition, or even anything during the year, really, that reflects a recent change in your life, that can be a memory of a lost one or adapting to a new environment or any other significant life transition. Kind of use that to your advantage to start a new tradition.
Yeah, and I think that can range from a different pools of your friendships too, right? Like, you know, fellowship with the saints is very, very important. But you can also take these opportunities to maybe reach out into your work pool of friends,
sure,
and maybe be that comfort to them, be a light in their life, you know? And so I would take this time to really be intentional about the friendships that you build and create these traditions where, whether it be we get dinner every Tuesday night, or we go, right, bowling, we play D&D, or whatever the case may be intentional about spending time with those people, building those friendships, and being a light in their life.
And if none of that floats your boat, here's a great tradition. Go be uncommon.
Mm.